Please turn your Bible to Psalm 119, right in the very middle of your Bible. This is considered the longest psalm and probably the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And it's really a very interesting psalm. It has so many movements with David in his relationship with God to draw himself closer to God, realizing that God has afflicted him, God has brought pain and suffering into his life, and all of it, he says, is good because he knew that he trusted in God's word and that his life was anchored in God's word, and God's word told him that God loved him. And so no matter what he was feeling, and he's very honest about his feelings, he always is holding on to the fact that God is going to bring him through the struggle, whatever it is that's going on with him. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. The word blessed is the interesting word, or blessed is the interesting word that in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the Greek language of the New Testament, basically both mean the same thing. How happy is this person? How much so happy this person is to be envied? How enviable is this person that has these attributes? So this is how you can be a person is super blessed by understanding his word and not being defiled and walking in his way. Blessed is he who seeks him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Boy, there's one you want to underline. You never want God to forsake you utterly. Just to be gone when you're laying on your deathbed and not to feel him would be hell itself. Now, you'll notice as it begins at verse 1, there's a Hebrew letter in most of your Bibles, and the word Aleph. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then when you start down at the 7th verse, you'll see a Hebrew letter in Beth. That's the second letter of the alphabet. He's dividing every stanza by the alphabet of the Hebrew language here. So you can just follow. These are thought patterns, and he's giving you a code to follow through. Verse 7. How can a young man cleanse his way? And then he answers his question. By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Let's all say that outside, out loud. That's one you all need to know. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's a Sunday school verse that every kid in Sunday school knows. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Four things, four steps that you can do to be a wise person here. Number one, meditate in God's precepts. Number two, contemplate God's ways. Number three, delight yourself in God's statutes. Number four, memorize God's word. Those four things are what made King David very wise. And as you read the Proverbs, you realize that the king is teaching Solomon wisdom. And that's basically how the Proverbs start out, with Solomon telling us that his father was very wise and taught him the wisdom of God. Meditate on his word. Contemplate his word, delight yourself in his word, and I will not forget, memorize his word. And the word of God is the only thing that's eternal that we'll be able to leave this world with. We won't even leave with our own bodies. So this is very wise for you to see Psalm 119, the very first part here. Because Psalm 118 is the very center of the Bible. The very middle verse of all 66 books is found in Psalm 118, and it's the middle verse of Psalm 118. And then he goes right into Psalm 119. He tells us the key to complete success is a person that will meditate on the Word of God, contemplate the Word of God, rejoice in the Word of God, and memorize the Word of God. That's the key to success right there. Deal bountifully with your servant. that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. And many times people do stray from his commandments. It's just the word of God. It spans the whole planet. There's hundreds of millions of people all over the globe right now, from little huts in the Philippine jungles under persecution by the Muslims to little huts in Indonesia and Bali and Singapore. There's hundreds of thousands in Singapore in the high-rises meeting this morning all over Singapore. Hundreds of thousands in Hong Kong meeting 20, 30, 50 people at a time in apartment buildings all over Kowloon and Hong Kong side. Throughout all of Asia, throughout all of Europe, throughout all of Central Latin America, Mexico, Canada, Australia, millions of people are gathering. And they're gathering to worship the Lord through singing because they love him. That's why you're gathering. You want to get together. I think it's one of the sweetest sounds is when you can hear you sing and you don't hear the musicians or their instruments. You hear you. There's no sound in San Diego like it. You're just worshiping the Lord. And the second reason the millions are gathering, the hundreds of millions are gathering, is to learn something from God's word, that God would speak through his word. So King David, the epitome of the king of Israel, just what God wanted, taught his son, who we're told by God himself would be the wisest man to ever live, the wisest man alive or ever had lived or ever would live. None would be wiser than him, was taught these principles from his dad. Stay in the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Contemplate the scriptures. Rejoice in the scriptures. Memorize the scriptures. Can't emphasize that enough. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a free Bible. If you don't know how to read, we'll get you some earphones with some tapes so you can listen to an MP3 player. If you can't hear, we'll give you sign language. If you're blind, we'll give you Morse code and tap it on your chest. We'll do whatever it takes to get you the Word of God, because God wants you to know him, and this is how you get to know him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, Jesus is the same one that said, if you're truly my disciple, not just a Christian or a church disciple, but you're truly my disciple, continue in my word. So the word is the most important thing for us to get to know him and to understand him and to hear him and to let him supernaturally speak to us. I want to emphasize before we take communion, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? That's a good one for all you young men in here. Some of the older dudes could turn around and tell you, well, here's what they did. But you have to ask yourself that question. And when you get to a place that you're asking that question, it means you're probably getting to a place that your pride and ego have been beat up enough that you're willing to do a change in your life. Well, the answer comes directly from the Lord, and he's doing the job of a great teacher. He's asking a question, then he's answering the question for the student. How can a young man cleanse his way? Here's how: by taking heed according to God's word. And then he says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And maybe you have wandered from God's commandments and you just went in gear, but you had no relationship with God at all. There was no freshness to your life. There's no freshness today. You'll see Wednesday night as we go through Psalm 119, the number of times the word revive comes up, revival. The whole answer to revival for a church, a nation, or an individual is found right in Psalm 119. But yet have I ever found a book on revival that zeroes in on Psalm 119. The whole answer to you being revived for a revival breaking out is found in 119 by saying, revive me according to your word. Revive me according to your scripture. Revive me according to your holy statutes. Revive me according to your testimonies. Revive me according to your word. Over and over, David says the only way revival comes is for people to get into the word. And I would say that a crowd this size, if we all spent time meditating in the word of Lord this week and contemplating the word of Lord and memorizing the word of the Lord and rejoicing in the word of the Lord, a revival would break out in all of San Diego. I believe that the sins of our city would begin to ebb. I believe that meetings would happen all over at lunch hour and after work and all times of day, not just on Sunday. I believe that people would be weeping and crying and asking forgiveness, that crooks and criminals would turn themselves in to the police department. I believe that the drug cartels would start going bankrupt, prostitution would start going down, and perversion would go away. But because God's people aren't people of the word, we have the problems that we have today because there's not enough strength inside the body of Christ to be righteous, to stand up and reprove the works of darkness. So the body of Christ is just lukewarm and dull and norm and allows the things that go on that go on. And the body of Christ was put here on the planet Earth to be the salt of the earth. And salt brings savor. But what good is the salt if it loses its savor, Jesus said. It's good for nothing but to be cast down to the ground and trodden under foot of men. So if your life is a little bit dull and you're not on the edge anymore, you may want to be honest with yourself and say, how long has it been I've just simply meditated on the scriptures? Wherewith, how can a young man cleanse his ways and be a new person? By taking heed to the word of God. Thomas Mann, the famous German author, said, time has no divisions to make its passage. There's never a thunderstorm or a blare of trumpets to announce the beginning of a new month or a new year. Even when a new century begins, it is only we mortals who ring bells and fire off pistols. Isn't that something? We're so concerned with time. And there was a time when there was no time that people just lived their lives. There wasn't a wristwatch. The wristwatch really became famous in the 1800s. They had a little bit of an idea in the 1700s of a wristwatch. Tick-tocks and clocks weren't really very famous till modern society started going, the Industrial Revolution. And even 600 years before the birth of Christ, one great philosopher wrote how that time had changed everything since man had discovered the sundial. You have taken, you have broken up my beautiful days with the sun rising in the morning and the sun going down in the evening and the peace in my heart, and now I have to respond to the sundial. Now imagine that. We had to, from beginning, man had to be in control of even time. We have to control our times. I'm amazed at people have their PDAs and they have all of their, I did this once and never again, have all their emails coming to them. There's no freedom. You're now a slave to a little box in your hand going beep, beep, ding, dong, ding, dong. Your latest iPod music download. You got all the news. You have no privacy anymore. You have no time. You're responding to cell phones and to beepers and to iPods and MP3 players and email and you may not be at the office, but the office is still with you. And so you never get a chance to just unwind and to cleanse your ways. How do you cleanse your way? Think of all the things you did over the holiday season. Holiday being Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah, whatever else you'd celebrate, and Thanksgiving. Let's start right at Thanksgiving. Go right to this very night, last night at midnight. How many hours did you spend watching television, listening to music, going to movies, going to parties, hanging out with people, and then how much time, on the other hand, did you spend contemplating the Word of God, meditating in the Holy Scriptures, delighting yourself in God's law and statute, and memorizing verses? How many new verses do you know since Christmas Day? And we should all cry out, revive me, O God, according to your Word. Give me a revival of falling in love with the Bible, falling in love with you, and getting to know you once again. Now, those of you that are scientists will giggle at my science 101 course here right now, but I want to tell you about a photon. It's a quantum of visible light or other form of electromagnetic radiation demonstrating both particle and wave properties. A photon has neither mass nor electric charge, but it possesses energy and momentum. I began thinking about that. I'm not going to tell you why I was reading about that, but I was reading about that, and I thought, very interesting, whatever this little invisible deal is, it has particles and wave properties, but it doesn't have any mass to it or a charge. And I have mass, and I have an electrical spark that my heart is beating and my brain waves are all working, but a photon is so invisible, it does possess energy, so it's a dynamo to itself. And it has momentum. It's going somewhere, doing something. And there's a great book that is out that was given to me for Christmas that I'm really enjoying. Richard A. Swenson, MD. He wrote a book called A Minute of Margin, telling us how to get the clutter out of our life, how to get the noise out of our life, how to get peace in our life. And just give yourself a minute of margin is each chapter, and each chapter is a page. Just a minute of margin to give yourself a little more time to show up, not be late. A little more time to brush your teeth, a little more time to do the simple things. But he had some very good insights in this one chapter. He said this about America. We are a nation on the move and in a hurry. The people of the forward stampede, he calls us. We eat fast food during the rush hour. We ship by FedEx, place calls through Sprint, balance books on Quicken, and diet with SlimFast. Everything's a hurry. Everything's a rush. We're hyper-living, he says. We're like field mice on amphetamines at harvest time. Moving so fast, we're passing up photons. Field mice on amphetamines at harvest time. All right. But your life may feel a blur. It may feel a little dull. It may feel a little numb. You've got a lot of irons in the fire. You're juggling a lot of balls. You're involved in a lot of different things. But what's it accomplishing? What's your home like? What's your marriage like? What's your relationship with your children like? Are you going faster than a photon? You're just speeding through life and everything is a blur. Well, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. The word cleanse has a double-edged sword definition to it. It means to make pure or to make clean. But it also means to keep clean and to keep pure. So how can you make your heart clean? How can you make your heart pure? By taking heed to the word of God. But how can I keep my heart pure? And how can I keep my heart clean? By taking heed to the word of God. Now, I can go through a steps program or a diet program, and I can have ways that I check myself out and accountability, but will it keep me? The only part that will not only make you, but it will keep you in the right place is God's word. You see, people say, I have a right to choose my lifestyle. Yes, you do. Everybody has a right to choose whatever they want to do. But I have a right to tell you that you're going to be held accountable for your choices. Every one of us will completely be held accountable for our choices when we come to the end of our life. Every choice we've ever made is being kept on record in heaven. There'll be no way to get out of it. You will even be given the opportunity to discuss it with your Creator, why you made those choices and those opportunities when they were given to you. Paul the Apostle says that we shall all be judged according to the gospel that I preach. So he told us that the standard for judgment for every human being will be very narrow, yes. It will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will be able to say, I live like this because it made me feel good. I live like this because you don't understand my childhood. I live like this because they were all mean to me. I live like this because I never had money. I live like this because I never had an education. I live like this because I have money. I live like this because I have a huge education. I live like this because... And we'll all have our excuses, but not one of them will stand up in purity or cleanliness to the word of God. How can you change, not a New Year's resolution, but probably you need a New Year's revolution. How can you cleanse your ways? How can this year be filled with less bitterness, if no bitterness, less lust, if no lust, less anger, if at least no anger, less greed and avarice, less judgmental, critical spirit, without cleansing your way through the word of God? For it is the only way that a young man can cleanse his way, the wise man says to us. We eat fast food during rush hour. We ship by FedEx. We place calls through Sprint. Balance books on Quicken and eat and diet with SlimFast. Everything's in movement with us, but we need to cleanse our ways. Turn to the New Testament, to 1 John at the back of the Bible, the first chapter, the first verse. The words I'm going to read to you are just very few, but these are written by a man that actually saw Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, walked with Jesus, traveled with Jesus, saw Jesus cleanse lepers, saw Jesus give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, watched as Jesus raised people from the dead, and saw Jesus confront the false religion of the time, and knew that Jesus was truly the Son of God. Listen to how he opens this great little book. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. How can we cleanse our ways? Taking heed to the word. And now this man is going to tell you the word of life is a person. He's a person. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. No, open up a bottle of whiskey so you'll be giggly and stupid. Nah, drink a six-pack while you're watching the football game so you can laugh and get out of the pressures of going back to work on Monday. No, we're just going to tell you something with the ultimate purpose that is going to make your joy be full. The world offers that you could be full of joy, which means you can empty out and not be happy tomorrow. But the Word of God reminds us that your joy has a quality to it that it's always full. You're down, go to the Scripture. You're up, stay in the Scripture. You're in the middle, don't get dull, just memorize some Scripture, contemplate it. You're in trouble, go to the Scripture. You're doing great, go to the Scripture. You need help, go to the Scripture. There'll always be some story that you're going to open to that'll just be you, and you'll understand, okay, He made it, I'm going to make it. God worked in that person's life, God's going to work in my life. So we write these things that your joy may be full. What is He going to write? Well, He's telling us. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. And how many people you know that they say they're a Christian, but they're sleeping with people they're not married with. They're living with people they're not married with. They're getting drunk. They're smoking joints. They're stealing from work. They're pilfering from the back room. They're lying to their bosses. They're ripping things off. They're mean people. And yet they call themselves Christians. And yet the one who wrote this actually saw what a real Christian was, says, boy, if you're living a life in the darkness and you're claiming to be one of us, you're a liar. And you really don't know the truth. Because when you know the truth sets you free from whatever bondage you have. You're struggling with something today, the truth will make you free. The only reason you're not set free is because, one, you haven't contemplated the Scriptures. Two, you haven't meditated the Scriptures. Three, you haven't rejoiced in the Scriptures. Four, you haven't memorized the Scriptures. That's why people have addictions. The one power that is available on the planet is in this book, for it to explode in your life, that your fellowship can be with Him as their fellowship was. So the message is simply this, that in Him is light and there is no darkness. And if someone says that we have fellowship with Him and they walk in darkness, they lie. They do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all, not some, not a few, not the hard ones, not the ones you can't shake, all sin. Even the ones that are presumptuous. Cleanses us. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his way? How can you have a new year and a new start in life? By taking heed to the word of God. If we say that we have no sin, we're just deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. And there's a lot of people that have the doctrine of sinless perfection, that you're not a sinner, and that makes you a liar and you are not right before God. You know, Dr. Swenson, who wrote a Minute of Margin, said many of us don't need richer estates. We need richer lives. And that's so true. Our society is always after the money or the goodies or the toys. And God wants the life. He wants it to be a rich life this year for you. I was reading some articles and statistics, and one of them was, do you know what the percentage of the work week that a typical worker spends in meetings? And the answer was, a typical worker in America spends 25% of their work week in meetings. And then the next question was, what are the odds that a person at a meeting doesn't even know why he's there for that meeting? And the odds were 1 out of 3. I mean, there are so many meetings that people have to meet about a meeting so they can have a meeting. And it's just killing time and wasting money and wasting energy. You see, a meeting takes away, gives communication, but it takes away vision. Because people don't think. We'll go to the meeting, and thinkers and prayers are people that are doers. And they just go because the Lord has showed them, and then they get a meeting for direction, am I on track? But if a third of the people in meetings don't even know why they're there and 25% of their work week is consumed in meetings, I think you can see there's a problem. What if 25% of your work week were consumed in meditating in the scripture? What about 25% of your time was spent on memorizing scripture? 25% of your time was allotted to rejoicing in the scripture or contemplating the scripture? Why, in just 24 hours, you'd be a new person. That's how you cleanse your ways. You'd begin seeing things you never saw and say, whoop, I'm not going to do that anymore. Whoops, I don't want that in my life. You'd become humble. You'd get on your face and say, oh, God, don't smite me. Don't kill me. Please give me another chance. I'm sorry. Then all of a sudden, humility would come out of your lives and you'd say, this is how a young man cleanses his way. He is concerned for the young men because young men don't always have good direction, especially if you're from a broken family. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, if you want to turn there before we serve communion, it says this. And remember, this is David telling the reason of why his son needs wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, the reason to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, and to give prudence to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. There's where we get wisdom from God's word. For the young man, he gets knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord, would you read it together out loud? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow, you want the beginning of knowledge and wisdom in your life? Fear God. How do you change your life? By doing 12 steps, 10 steps, 3 steps, or one huge leap? How do you do it? By taking heed to the word of God Almighty. I was reading a story yesterday about education, and this magazine said, well, maybe we should be grading the parents, because there's a book and a whole subject matter and websites about the dumbing of America and how it looks like we're being torn down in our education system, and that the leaders know what they're doing. And it's kind of a frightening thing. But they said we should grade the parents who are not helping their children get to a higher intellect. For instance, they had two letters from parents about excuse why their kid couldn't make it to school. And this is one. Dear school, please excuse John being absent on January 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Another letter. Please excuse Roland from phys ed for a few days. Yesterday he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip. Once he finds it, he'll be back in school, I'm sure. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. He takes it a little bit deeper. He says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. How does a young man cleanse his ways? How does he make himself clean and pure? How do you change your attitude, your heart? Have you ever been in a place you say, I'm going to try doing it this way. I've always done it that way. And just see what happens this year. Receive my sayings and look what happens. The years of your life shall be many. Wisdom will allow you to live longer and not be dumb. It's the basics. How do you cleanse your way? Especially you young men. God's looking for some new pastors and preachers and missionaries out of this crowd. How do you young men get out of the trap of your ego and your pride and your flesh and chasing the girls and the parties? How do you get out of there? How do you cleanse? How do you make it clean? How do you clean this thing out? You know there's a lot of garbage in there. How do you make it pure? But how do you keep it clean? And how do you keep it pure? By taking heed to God's word. And God will speak to you. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths, the Father says to the Son. Soccer star David Beckham was quoted recently as saying, I definitely want my son Brooklyn Christian, but I don't know into what religion yet. That's an amazing thought, huh? I'd love to meet him. If anybody knows him, I'd love to meet him and talk to him. David Beckham is also quoted in December Reader's Digest magazine. My parents have been there for me ever since I was about 7. Now you can understand why he doesn't know what religion or christened, it's all thoughts. How do you say, my parents have always been there from the time I was seven? What happened those first 6 years? Some of you may say, my parents were never there for me, but God was. You just maybe didn't call out on him. Wherein does a young man cleanse his ways? In conclusion, as the gentlemen come up to service communion, in Yellowstone Park, my wife Sandy used to work there the year before we got married, in fact, and met. I was reading of a lady that said, you can't believe the questions that are answered, are asked by tourists, any of you that work at SeaWorld or the zoo, wild animal park or the airport or someplace where there's masses of people always coming through. You do get some very interesting questions and some dumb ones and stupid ones. And this park lady that worked there had a woman actually come up to her and say, at what elevation do deer turn into elk? Oh, I get it. The higher you go, the bigger the antlers, I guess. Well, this is a good question. How do you cleanse your way? How can you be a different person and a better person? By joining a fraternity? By joining a club downtown and doing good works? Can you cleanse your way by reading the Harvard Classics? Can you cleanse your way by taking a night course on self-improvement? Can you cleanse your way with liposuction? Can you cleanse your way by having a complete makeover? Can you cleanse your way? No, there's only one way. There's only way you can change, and that's by taking heed to God's word. And if you'll just listen to it as it speaks to you, you'll know it's speaking to you, and you'll hang your head down. You'll say, that's me. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. God will say, well, this is me. I forgive you and I accept. And you'll be a new person. And you just move on. And then you'll open it again and you'll say, that's the answer I was looking for. I understand if I do it this way in that meeting on Tuesday and I bring this up, that's the answer to what everybody's looking for. It's right here in this story in the book of Kings. God will bless you. You see, Psalm 51:10 makes it very simple. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. As we pass out the communion, if you'd hold on to the cup and to the bread until we've all been served, we'll partake together. And this is your prayer. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's never missed a beat. And we thank you that the Holy Scriptures are just a book to people that don't care about you. But to those that love you and seek you and want your will and want to be pleasing to you, we have found that it is the truth of life. May you help us change those things that are irritable to other people around us this year. May you help us soften our hearts and our attitudes. May you help us be more gracious and kinder and more gentle and loving and patient. Lord, may you fill us overflowing with joy and happiness that would be full. May you cleanse us and scour us, that our hearts that are black and dirty, they're sin-laden, they're corroded, they're crusted, they're rusty, they're dull. Would you scour with the blood of your Son our hearts that they'd be fresh, they'd be shiny and sparkly and bright, they'd be light and not heavy, that our hearts could just breathe in deeply. And Lord, we could become more like you. Help us see the simplicity of it, Lord, that we'd just take heed to your word, we'd contemplate it, we'd meditate in your scriptures, we'd rejoice in your word, and we would memorize the truths and never forget. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.